Thank you for being with us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm so glad that you're interested in Bible study. You could be doing a lot of other things this morning, but you've chosen to study God's Word together with us, and I'm encouraged by that. Thank you for doing that. We would also like for you to visit with us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Come join us for Bible study and worship to God. We are open. We would love to have you visit with us. We've been looking at a series of lessons that I've entitled Conversion Questions. And when you look at the cases of people in the book of Acts who were converted to Christ, they heard the gospel, they believed in Jesus Christ, they repented of their sins, they confessed that Jesus was the Christ, and in each case they were baptized for the remission of their sins. In those cases of conversion, there are some things that happen that are worth asking questions about. In Acts chapter 2, in our first lesson, we looked at the question of Peter when he said, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Why did Peter say that? And then in our next lesson, out of Acts chapter 8, we ask the question concerning the Ethiopian eunuch, why did he command the chariot to stand still? And in today's conversion question, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 9, we're going to look at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. And we're going to ask the question, why was it that Ananias was told by God to arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul, a man of Tarsus? Acts 9:11. Why was Ananias sent to meet with Saul of Tarsus? What role did that play in his conversion? And we've been noticing, friends, that if what the religious world today says is true, then we wouldn't need to have these things that we're reading about. If you're saved by faith only, if you're saved by praying the sinner's prayer, things like that, if God does everything to save you and you don't do anything, why did Peter say, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation"? Why did the Ethiopian eunuch command the chariot to stand still so that he and Philip could go down into the water and Philip baptize him? If baptism is not necessary, why command the chariot to stand still? If we don't do anything to be saved, why did Peter say, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation"? And we're going to take the same approach this morning, out of Acts chapter 9, in the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, we're going to ask that same question. Why was Ananias sent by the Lord to go tell Saul or Paul what he must do? If there's nothing to do to be saved, why was he told what to do? And what was it that he was told to do to have his sins washed away? So I hope that our study this morning will be helpful and encouraging to you to understand the proper order and way in which to be truly saved. We're not interested in man's opinions or religious thoughts on the matter, myself included. We're interested in letting the Bible speak to how we are to be converted to Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's hard to set aside things that we've been taught all of our life. It's hard sometimes to let go of traditions and things that we've always heard, but we can do that, friends, and we can accept the Bible truth. Let's read together Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, where we picked up, we will pick up there from our lesson last week, that The Ethiopian eunuch was baptized into Christ. He went on his way rejoicing. Philip is preaching the gospel. So let's pick up the reading in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. But Saul, this is going to be Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, yet breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He was persecuting Christians. And asked of him letters to Damascus unto the synagogues, that if he found any that were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. The way here, capital W-A-Y, that's another description for Christians, those who are following Jesus the way, John 14, verse 6. So they that were of the way, Christians, he wants to bind them and bring them to Jerusalem. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, it came to pass that he drew near unto Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light out of heaven, and he fell upon the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This is Jesus. When you persecute Christians, you persecute Jesus himself. When you persecute his followers, you persecute Jesus himself. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You could just stop right there. If a person doesn't do anything to be saved, like we're told today, why did Jesus tell him to go into Damascus and there it would be told him what he must do? Do what? To do what? What he must do to start following Jesus and doing what Jesus wants and to be saved, to have his sins washed away. So there is something that one must do. Verse 7, and the men that journeyed with him, with Saul, stood speechless, hearing the voice, but beholding no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and did neither eat nor drink. So clearly, in addition to being blinded, he is in a completely different spiritual state. He had gone there to get Christians and bring them bound to Jerusalem, but now he himself is bound, if you will, by the Lord. He's in the process of being changed, and it's a spiritual change for him, so he's not eating or drinking, showing that he is thinking about this. Repentance is here. He wants to make a change. And this neither eating nor drinking is showing a change in his spiritual state. Verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said unto him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul, a man of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And he hath seen a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him that he might receive his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many of this man how much evil he did to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. Ananias knew about the reputation of Saul, and that reputation had preceded him, and people knew why he was coming to Damascus and the trouble that he would cause. Verse 15, But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And that's what Paul, the Apostle Paul, would do starting in Acts chapter. Well, he starts it immediately here in Damascus after his conversion, but primarily Luke records his trips from Acts 13 all the way through Acts 28, and he would be preaching before all of those individuals, including kings. Verse 16, For I, Jesus, will show him, Paul, how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And the Apostle Paul certainly did that. And Ananias departed and entered into the house, and laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus, who appeared unto thee in the way which thou camest, hath sent me, and thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And straightway there fell from his eyes as it were scales, and he received his sight, and he rose and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. So the question comes from verse 11. Why did Jesus tell Ananias, why did he send him to go find Saul in the home of Judas on the street that is called Straight? If certain things are true in the religious teaching today, then why do that? So let's look at a few things this morning. First of all, there would be no need to send Ananias to meet with Saul if some people are too evil to be saved. You know, we hear sometimes today a person says, well, I've been too bad to be saved. There's no way Jesus will save me. I've just done too many terrible things. Well, that's just not true. Saul had been doing some evil things, and he was persecuting Christians, and he was causing problems. Look at verse 13. Ananias said to the Lord, I have heard how many of this man, how much evil he did to thy saints at Jerusalem. Later, when Paul is talking about this conversion in Acts 22, he said, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Paul consented to Stephen's death. You can read about that at the end of Acts chapter 7. We find here in chapter 9 and verse 13 that he had done evil. In chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, he's going to Damascus to bring Christians bound to Jerusalem, and he wants them to be killed. Verse 1, breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 11, Paul looks back on this and says, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul will write about his previous life and say how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. Paul had done some evil things, and yet Jesus was willing to save him and wash away his sins. Have you been evil and bad? You can change, and you can be forgiven of anything that you've done. Here's a second thing that I would consider. There would be no reason for the Lord to send Ananias to meet with Saul if keeping the law of Moses is sufficient. You know, there are a lot of people today, Orthodox Jews, especially in Judaism, who believe that they go to heaven by following the old law of Moses. That old law served Israel for a time and for a purpose, but it was done away when Jesus died on the cross. Ephesians 2:14, Colossians 2:14, and other New Testament passages teach that. But there are people today that still want to be saved by living by the old law. Well, if that's the case, then Saul of Tarsus could have been saved by just simply continuing to keep the old law that he was already keeping. In Acts 22 and verse 3, Paul writes, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of our fathers. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 5, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He kept the law. He was blameless. He was a Pharisee, and he could have just continued being that. But no, he left that behind. Philippians 3, 5, and following, he left all of that behind for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And like I said earlier, that old law has been done away. We are under the law of Christ today, Galatians 6 and verse 2. No, Paul needed to change. And there are a lot of people today that don't like that idea that Paul stopped living under the old law as a Jew and started living under the law of Christ. And he talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He continued to do some things as a Jew that would not violate the law of Christ, but that's not how one is saved. And so he changed and he converted to start living under the law of Christ. So there would be no reason to send Ananias if you could just keep living under the old law. If you could be saved by just being religious, there would be no need to send for Ananias. Saul was a religious man. In Galatians 1, 13 and 14, Paul wrote, "For you have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion." Then he goes on to say, "And it profited and profited in the Jews' religion above my equals in my own nation." He was very competitive in the Jews' religion. He was a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee. He lived after the strictest sect of our religion, a Pharisee, Acts 26:5. There's a lot of people today that have been led to believe that just being religious and even zealous in that religion is enough. Paul had a religion. He had the old law. He had a religion. He was very, very committed to that. But Ananias was sent to tell him what to do to be saved. And he needed to become a Christian. That time for living under the old law passed away when Jesus died on the cross. And everyone, Jew or Gentile, must now come to God through Jesus Christ. There would be no reason to send Ananias for Saul if one is saved by praying. You know, we hear that a lot today, pray the sinner's prayer. Well, if you look back at Acts chapter 9 and verse 11, you may recall that Ananias was told to send for Saul and go to the home of Judas. There's going to be a man named Saul there, for he prays. Acts 9:11. He's praying. Well, if you can be saved by praying, there would be no reason to send Ananias. If you can be saved by faith only, and by praying the sinner's prayer, there would be no reason for Ananias to even talk with Saul. Saul of Tarsus, when he heard Jesus, he obeyed him. Jesus told him to go into Damascus. He clearly believes what Jesus is saying. And now he's praying. But these things alone are not what saves. No one was ever told that they would be saved by faith alone. No one was ever told to pray the sinner's prayer. But men are often taught that today. Pray the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. Prayer did not save Saul, friends. It just did not. And we need to remember that very thing. There's something else that Saul needed to be told to do that he had not been told to do before. Well, there's no need to send Ananias to meet up with Saul if being well-educated is all that is required. You know, a lot of times people today say that if you'll just be a good person, we talked about this last week with regard to the Ethiopian eunuch, if you'll just be a good person, or if you'll be a religious person, or maybe even an educated person and treat other people nicely, you can go to heaven. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to pray. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to be converted. You don't have to be a Christian. And yet we find that Saul of Tarsus was a very well-educated man. If you turn over to Acts 22 and verse 3, Paul, looking back on this conversion, said that he was brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of our fathers. This man was extremely well educated. He knew Hebrew. He knew Greek. He may have known Latin. He was very well educated. And there are a lot of educated people today, and they're good people. But educated people often will not come to the truth of the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with having a high IQ. There's nothing wrong with our young people getting a good education school and getting a high score on their ACT or the SAT. I think that's great. I encourage that. I want my kids to do that. But education alone does not save. And often education, especially higher education, will actually keep people away from the truth of the Word of God because it's anti-God, anti-Bible. Why send Ananias to meet up with Saul if zeal is all that one needs to be saved? Paul was very zealous in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. He had gone to Damascus to get men and women and bind them and bring them to Jerusalem. He was zealous toward God, Acts 22, 3. He was exceedingly zealous of the traditions of his fathers, Galatians 1, 14. When Paul talks about zeal in Philippians 3, 5 and following, he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. But friends, zeal must be coupled with a knowledge of God's truth. We know that from Romans 1, 1 through 3, that the Jews were very zealous, but they had a zeal not according to knowledge. There are religious people today that are very zealous in their religion, but it's not coupled with the truth of God's Word. Are you aware of different individuals that will come around and knock on your door? Door knocking, they canvass the neighborhood. Sometimes they'll be out there in the heat of the day, or they'll be out there when it's really cold, and you admire them for their zeal. But it's a zeal that is not according to knowledge. Zeal alone does not save. You know, why send for Ananias to meet with Saul if having a good conscience is all that is needed? A lot of times people say just follow your conscience, and if you live each day with a clean conscience, that's enough to go to heaven. But when Paul was looking back on his conversion in Acts 26 and verse 9, he said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. What he thought he was doing, he thought was fine, but it's not. It was not. And in Acts 23 and verse 1, he said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And that included his persecuting of Christians. He had a clean conscience with that, but his conscience was misguided and it had to be changed. Saul's conscience was good because he had been taught to do the bad things he did. And he had been taught that from his fellow Jewish leaders. Our conscience works the same way. Our conscience is only as good as it is educated or taught by the Word of God. And we certainly need to remember that. So, as we come down toward the close of our lesson this morning, let's answer the question, why did Jesus send Ananias? He was told in verses 10 and 11 to go inquire in the house of Judas for one soul. Why do that? Well, the answer is simple. When Saul asked Jesus, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Arise and enter to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Ananias was sent to tell Saul what he must do. Lord, what will thou have me to do? And look at the parallel account in Acts chapter 22. If you'll hold your hand there in Acts chapter 9 and turn over to Acts 22, the parallel account where we find the same thing, where Saul is going to Damascus to get Christians. He's going to persecute those who are of the way. He sees the resurrected Lord. It's a bright light. Look at Acts 22:10. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said unto me, "Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee all things which are appointed for thee to do." Notice there are things that we need to do to be saved. "And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus," Acts 22:11. "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well reported of by all the Jews that dwelt there, came unto me, and standing by me said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight." And I wanted to make a note on that. We read that earlier in Acts chapter 9. Brother Saul. There have been some people that say, well, Saul was already a Christian by faith only, because Ananias calls him brother. No, this is brother in the sense of Jewish brethren. Men and brethren. Jews talking to fellow Jews. Saul is not a Christian at this point. "And in that very hour I looked up on him, and he," Acts 22:14, "Ananias said, The God of our fathers hath appointed thee to know his will, and to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness for him, and to all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." Friends, that's what you must do to be saved. The Lord did not tell him what to do. The Lord told him to go into Damascus, and there it would be told him what he must do. And so when he gets into Damascus, notice what Ananias told him. Yes, he told him some things that involve his preaching and how he would preach to others, but it culminated in, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Notice that whatever Saul is told to do, it is a must. "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Don't delay. Don't tarry. We're often told today by religious individuals that there's nothing one has to do to be saved, and that is just not true. Baptism is essential to washing away past sins. And when Saul did that, he became the Apostle Paul. And later, he wrote the book of Romans, and in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, he talks about being buried with Christ in baptism, into his death, that like as Christ was raised to the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. This tells us how Saul was baptized. He was immersed, he was buried. And this baptism puts one into Christ. Jesus himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Will you be obedient like Saul was and get up and do what you need to do? We're so thankful for Ananias and what he said so that we can know what to do. Well, that answers the question why Jesus sent Ananias, so that Saul could arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. Thank you very much for your time on the program this morning.